I want to speak on from reject to ruler. Sometimes, I guess all of us at some time or another feel like a reject, right? But thank the Lord, God's still able to use us. And that's what we see here in the passage of Scripture today that I hope will be a blessing. For me, studying the book of Judges is quite depressing. We see it's the years between the time that Joshua ended up his leadership and the appointment of Saul as becoming a king. It was during this time that Israel would abandon, they would abandon the Lord for their false gods. God would punish them. God would allow their enemies to come and literally about destroy them. And then after they were about destroyed, they'd all of a sudden they'd repent, and the Lord would have mercy on them again. And then they would go right back to doing the same thing over and over again. The reason for that, it was, you don't have to turn there, but in Judges 21:25, it said, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right according to his own eyes. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the day in which we live in. But you know what is so discouraging about the book is the evidence that many times we humans don't learn our lesson. No matter how many times God may chasten us, or no matter how many times God calls us, or no matter how many times God forgives us, we find ourselves back in the same circumstance once again, only to be facing the hand of God. But the positive side of the book is God never forsook them. And I believe today that that ought to encourage our heart and understanding. They failed him. He chastised them. But he always took them back when they genuinely repented of their sin. That lets me know, according to the Word of God, that he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And I'm glad today that he said, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. You see, the reason for that is Israel had been purchased or would be purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And by the way, they are. The church has been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Once you become a child of God, you cannot lose that place in your life. You're saved, and you're saved for all eternity. And God promises that he will always stand with us. Now, although the time of the judges was dark and it was very dismal, there's a few lives and people in the book of Judges that stand out to me that I believe we can look at and realize some things about them. The one that I'm thinking of today is found in chapter number 11. The Bible said, Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a man of valor. I'm going to stop right there, and we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the rest of it in just a moment. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together. And Lord, I thank you for this chapter. I thank you for this man. And Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, help us to be receptive to the truth that's before us. But Father, we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Jephthah walked through some hard places in his life. Yet he was able to overcome the obstacles. And I think even in life that we live, we have obstacles along the way. And I know that he had some problems, and he was totally not perfect in all of his ways. He had some things, some good things and some bad things. But yet Jephthah can be a good example in some ways. But one reason he's not a good example was because he was chosen to lead the people by the people rather than by God. And I think that's serious when that happens, and it happens accordingly. But I believe that he had a mixture of spiritual and fleshly. His life was confusing at best, and you'll see that when we begin to read the Scripture. But while he was not the Lord's choice to judge Israel, the Lord allowed Jephthah to lead the people to victory for his own purposes. And it's amazing to me that God can use, well, he says he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I raise my hand on that, and I'm grateful today that God can use us no matter what we are. You see, God had a plan in using Jephthah, even though he did not choose him and he did not place him. But you're going to find where Jephthah goes from being a reject, and we'll look at that in a moment, to literally being a ruler of the people, and I would say in many ways a good ruler of the people. The first thing I want you to notice with me today is an appalling rejection. I want you to look with me in verse 1, and let's look at Jephthah's character. The Bible said, Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. And here's where it starts. And he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. You know, Jephthah, we see his character from the very first revelation in verse 1. It tells us a few things about him. He was a mighty man of valor. Those are good things. He was a mighty man. It means that he had great bravery. I believe that the word valor means strength, ability, and efficiency. It identified him as being courageous and powerful. And if you've got a leader, you want somebody that's courageous and powerful. He was the kind of man who knew what needed to be done, and he did whatever needed to be done to get the job done. Good people do that. He was the kind of man who refused to back down. When he set his mind on what he was going to do, he did and finished what he decided to do. Yet we find he's the man that you kind of want to have you back. We hear people often say, they say, "I've got you back." And then they'll say, "But I'm falling as far away from you as I can." They may have you back, but this is a man that had your back. No matter what you experienced or what you went through, Jephthah had your back. He was a man of mighty valor. He had of great skills, and the people that elected will elect him to become the ruler in a little bit. But we see that there was a little bit of a challenge with his character. The Bible said that he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. You know, when you stop and think about it, number one, let me say first of all, that Jephthah had nothing to do with his birth. He was born into this world who he was, and he could not accept it. However, when people are born under circumstances that he was born under, oftentimes it leads to obstacles and hardships along the way. People will seem to never let you forget it. They'll overlook your abilities. They probably overlooked that he was a mighty man of valor, but they could not help but remind him that he was the son of a harlot. Evidently, his father Gilead was a man that frequented prostitutes, and somewhere along the line, one of the ladies became pregnant with Jephthah, and she bore him, and he became a son. And yet we find that that gives him the fact that he had some good characteristics. He was a mighty man of valor, but yet he still had the stigma of being born in this relationship. He had areas in his life which were extraordinary, and then he had issues in his life that were problematic. And again, I think it's important that we understand that it was not his fault, but yet sometimes people will do everything they can to destroy and tear you down. Look at the conflict that he endured in verse number 2. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they throwed out Jephthah and said unto him, "Thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman." Here's where the problem arises. It wasn't that he had anything to do with it. He couldn't help being born and out of that relationship. But yet, his family, it seems, appears here that Jephthah's father had already died. They're talking about getting his inheritance. And so they literally held it against him to the point to where they thrust him out. Most likely, he was a constant reminder to them of their father's infidelity. Understanding that no matter where they went or who they saw or what they did, they were reminded of what their father did. And he literally became a stigma in his own house. They probably hated him all their lives, but probably could not do nothing about it as long as Gilead, his father, lived. And they probably, in some ways, even though they disliked him, they probably envied him if he was strong and able and efficient, the kind of man to get the job done, one that people would look to in their time of need. But you see, everything they were not, Jephthah turned out to be. He had a rough start, and he had rough things he had to deal with along the way, but literally it seems as if he turned out better than they did. They hated him, and they hated him for everything that he was able to do. Now, the sad part about it is, sometimes our children pay for the sins of their father, the Bible teaches in the Word of God, and Jephthah did. His father was a philanderer who brought an illegitimate child into the world. That child lived with the stigma of the father's sins his whole life and what he had done. But you know, no matter what, he was not scarred by the actions of his father. Friend, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter who you are today. Please understand, and I love this passage of Scripture, and I love the story, because what we find is here was a man that, irregardless of how he was treated by his half-brothers, he did not stoop to the same level of evil as they did. Jephthah was a good man. He had a rough coming up. He went through some difficult things, but literally what he did in his life, he broke the cycle of sin in his family. He did not do as others do. Somebody said, well, you know, people are going to turn out to be like their children's going to turn out to be just like them. Not always the case, may I say. Thank the Lord, sometimes there's young people that God saves their soul. They get stirred and challenged. They look back maybe where they came from. They look at some of the difficulties perhaps their parents had, and they say, I don't want to go there. I want to make my path straight. I want to go right. And I believe Jephthah was that kind of man. We need to learn a valuable lesson here. Don't turn there, but Exodus 34:7 said, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, and to the third and fourth generation. There's people today that would say, Lord, why would he do that? You know, it doesn't mean that God will not punish you for what your parents did. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Obviously, and that's what ought to motivate us as moms and dads, is to live a life that is pleasing to God in such a way that when our children are going through life, that they will not be affected by anything that I did or anything that I said or the way that I lived that would carry over in them. Because according to the Word of God, it says many times that God visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children and upon the third and fourth generation. Listen, most people I know today said, it's my sin. God, deal with me. You take care of me, but you don't mess with my children. But don't tell God that, because God's already said what you do will affect your children, your children's children, and from generation, third and fourth generation on, they will be affected by it. It does mean that what parents did will often bear fruit in your life. I thank to God today that we can make decisions. I encourage people. I know God forgives. But yet I'm afraid sometimes that our sin, it's a whole lot more sin. It's not just effective in our life. It affects everybody, no matter what. And children often, many times, develop the same attitudes that are similar to their parents. They sometimes develop ways of living like their parents. They have prejudice. They have likes. They have dislikes that they were built into them by their parents. And so down the road, and this is what's happening now. Jephthah, listen, he didn't do nothing to deserve this, but his father did. And so he finds all this rejection, the hate, all the things that his brothers did against him because of who he was and where he had came from, because he reminded them of the wrong thing. You see, the fact is, a lot of what we do is generational. We may not like it, but many times we carry the influence of the family with us all the days of our life. If your mother is hateful, good chance you'll be hateful. If your daddy's mean and hateful, you may be mean and hateful. If your daddy's a drunk, possibly you could come. I'm not saying you have to be, and I submit to you today, thank God you don't have to be. But you have to be careful, because you're prone to the same sins in your life that they had. If you grow up hearing criticism and negativity, and by the way, I preach this all my life. I tell you, if you want your children to turn out right, and I'm not saying I'm an expert by any means. I failed many ways. But I'm going to tell you, children don't need to hear criticism and negativity. Listen, if you do, they'll have a good chance of becoming negative, as their parents perhaps were. If you have an abusive home, kids have the mindset often of it. However, somebody has to break the cycle. And Jephthah, in our passage of Scripture, that's exactly what he did. And I want to remind you today that everything I said, listen, the good news is this. There is power, grace, and help in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. God has never left us nor forsook us. If we're saved by the grace of God, it makes no difference what our background is. It makes no difference what we've done, where we've come from. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll save your soul. He'll forgive you of any sin that you've committed, and he will make your life what it ought to be in him. Understand today, there's help and there's hope in him. I don't know what speaks to your heart today, but I'm just simply saying, if you're a young person and you say, well, I don't stand a chance. My mom and dad did such and such, or they did this or they did that. Break the cycle. Break the cycle. Don't let it happen to you. Don't become as they are. Do what you know is right according to the Word of God. And Jephthah, I'm challenged by this man. I tell you, in reading the message here and getting it prepared, I was encouraged by him because of what he did. You see, your earthly family may turn against you, But if you're saved, you're a member of God's family. And I tell you, your Heavenly Father will never turn you away. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I'll be here a while. I got to move. Look at verse 3. Jephthah's companions. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. Now, when Jephthah left the family home, he went to a place called Tob. It was located east of the Jordan River. It was in the country of Syria. And we're told when he went there that all of a sudden all these vain men gathered around him and began to follow him. The word vain there means this. Not exactly the kind of people you'd want following you, but unemployed, bankrupt, and empty. The word vain means those things. So these were idle men looking for something to fill their time. And Jephthah come along, and you know why they flocked to him. It may be that in him they saw a leader. Maybe they saw his leadership skills. Maybe they saw someone who could help them find a purpose in life. And by the way, isn't that what we're to do? We're to reach out. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you fall in the category of a vain person or not. The fact of it is, everybody Jesus died on the cross for, and we're to reach out to them. So maybe they saw him as a leader. Whatever the reason was, the Bible said that they followed him, and the last part of that verse said they went out with him. Now, what it means is Jephthah became a ragtag leader of a band of misfits and outcasts. I mean, this is not what people would have chosen for their army. But these are the ones that he finds that he's leading. It's speculated that they acted like that when David and his men, if you remember, were running after King Saul. It seems that Jephthah was able to mold these misfits into a fighting force. He was showing himself to be a leader of these men, even though they had no skills or had no background. There's a couple of lessons from Jephthah's actions that I want to mention to you this morning. Jephthah took a negative and turned it into a positive. I tell you today, I go back and I think we look at that and say, my, look at what happened to them. But listen, it doesn't matter what happens. God can still use you if you're willing to be used. And rather than going and sitting in a corner and feeling sorry for yourself or weeping about it or crying about it, he said, listen, I'm going to do something with my life. And obviously he did. Sometimes it looks like all of life is against us. But in God's divine sovereignty, the worst part of his plan is for us to be more like him. Friend, the Bible said that God leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Second of all, we see another lesson. God delights in using the unusable. Now, this doesn't seem to be a man, and actually God did not appoint him as a judge. God did not appoint him as a king or a leader or whatever it might be here. It was the people that did it. But you know, God can take what we do. You know, I say this, oftentimes God's will becomes God's will. It wasn't God's will to start with, but once it happens, then it becomes God's will. And no doubt he put him in there, and we find Jephthah realizing that God could use him irregardless of where he came from or who his mother was or what his daddy did. And friend, today I want to tell you today, it makes no difference who you are. Makes no difference where you came from. It makes no difference what you're going through. I'm simply telling you today, if you want to be used of God, God stands ready and able to help you to be used of God in a mighty way. Why? In order that we might bring honor and glory to him. But why did these people follow him? Well, this is not a rich, deep spiritual study, but you ever heard birds of a feather flock together? Well, he kind of was a reject. He probably, when he first left, he was kind of walking in great sadness. He had been kicked out by his family. He was written out of the will. Obviously, he wasn't going to get anything. And yet, he probably didn't have a lot of friends. But yet, all of a sudden, these people were drawn to him. Friend, it doesn't matter who we are today. There ought to be a sense about us that draws people to us in order that we might tell them about Christ and what he did. Fourthly, rejection is hurtful, but sometimes beneficial. God can use the animosity and the attacks of others to build our character. I would say today that if we had time, and we don't, but I believe if we was to ask around today that people could stand up and say, preacher, I can tell you something that happened in my life 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I tell you, I didn't understand. I didn't know why God was doing it. I didn't know why God was allowing it. But God allowed it, and I can stand here today and say that I'm a better man because of it. I've grown stronger. I've learned to trust better. I've got more faith than I've ever had before. You see, God stands willing and ready to use us if we'll allow Him to do so. So here's Jephthah. He left home. He's living in exile. He somewhat becomes like a Robin Hood figure, you know, where he's got the merry men and they're doing everything they can to provide for the poor and all. And so he's protecting the Israelites, making the best of the situation with his own people looking for him. Now, here we find here that all this is going on. He's going through a difficult time, but he finds out his own people, his family, and those people that are rejecting him are looking for him. What were they looking for him for? Because they had a request. Look at verse 4 and 5. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. Now, verses 1 through 4, get out of here. We don't need you no more. You remind us of something bad. We don't need you here no more. But when the nation became under attack, they came to him. You know why? Because they knew that he had the skills and the ability to do what needed to be done. You see, the Ammonites were trying to take over the land. The children of the Ammonites were descendants of Abraham's nephew, Lot. And through a very incestuous relationship with one of his daughters, the Ammonites were cousin to the Jews, but they were also perpetual enemies of the Jews. And so now they're attacking them. They're coming against them. And so now they come running to Jephthah, and they make a request. They need his help. Notice the character of his request in verse 6. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. I don't know about you, but boy, that just encourages my heart. Jephthah, down, defeated, rejected, run off, disliked, and all of a sudden now, they need him. Friend, I'm going to tell you, you better be careful with writing off your enemies because one day you may need them. And yet they came and they make a starting request. The elders came to him with the request, and they didn't make no bones about it. They said, we want you to be our captain. We want you to be our leader. We want you to be the one in charge, the commander, the ruler. At that point, they ask him to leave. Now they come to him asking him to lead. What a change of mind. They were going in a different direction. This is a reminder that a call to service of leadership might come without notice. But when God calls us to do something, we need to be ready to do it and respond at a moment's notice because God will use us and sometimes come to us in some very strange and unusual ways. Our duty is just to faithfully serve the Lord where we are. You know, we should never fret about where we are unless God tells us to move to someplace else that we need to be. We need to be busy about our Father's business where we are. It's our responsibility, I believe, to grow where we're planted. Thank God for the church, the ministry, the doors of the ministry, the opportunities we have. But it's our responsibility to grow as we're planted and to have plenty of opportunities for service that God could use us. And so they come and they ask him to be their captain. They want that with all their being. And then they come to verse 7. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, now the Gilead, remember, was his father, do not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come unto me now that you're in distress? You know, Jephthah recounts the past attitudes toward him. Friends, sometimes it's not easy to go back to people after sometimes you wronged. I've shared this. I've had people slam the door in my face and tell me, don't you never come back in my yard again. Don't you come on my porch. If I need you, I'll call you. And within just a week and a half, their son committed suicide, and they needed me. Somebody came and said they want to talk to you. And in my fleshly mind, in my mind only, I said if he needed me, he'd call me. Pretty angry. I don't like being cursed. I don't like being told to get out of somebody's yard. But that was in my mind, and my heart said, you go. And thank God I did go. And that man and his wife both got saved. Some of the other family got saved. I buried both of them. And I tell you what, I'm so glad. I tell you, we get in the flesh. We get to the point, well, it don't matter what anybody else. I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do. But thank God, Jephthah, he did question him. There's nothing wrong with questioning him. You didn't need me. Now why do you need me? But in verse 8, they once again reissued the request. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Now, Jephthah had a problem. He had to be careful because he was in a position where they wanted him and they wanted him bad. But he was also in a position where he could have revenge and get back at them if he so choose. So glad he didn't. But yet we find here they said, we want you to be the head. The word head means the top, the summit, the chief. They want Jephthah back so he can take over. They want him to come back and be their boss. You know what they're offering him? They're saying, here we are, Jephthah. You take us and do with us what you see fit, but we need you. Will you come back? Their treatment of Jephthah was so sad. Imagine growing up in a home where you were hated. Imagine your father dying and they getting rid of you because they don't want to split the inheritance with you. They had no use for him when things were going well. You know, that's the way sometimes people are. They have no use as long as everything's going really good. When the bottom fall out, they run for help. And they usually go to who they know will help them. And most of the time it's Christians that know God and have been saved by his grace. You know, how many times people treat the Lord that way? They refuse to be faithful. They refuse to serve him. They refuse to honor his word. They refuse to attend his house. They treat him as if he's an unwanted intruder in their lives. Somebody once said, you know, we treat Jesus like a spare tire. It's in the trunk if we need it. But I'm going to tell you what, I have had a spare tire in the trunk before and it was flat. And it's no good when it's flat. I can tell you that. And friend, you may have Jesus, but if you don't have him in fellowship, and if you're not walking in the Spirit of God, you may not get the answers you want in your time of need. And you need to understand, he's not a spare tire. When the bad days come, we ought to have confidence to walk with God. Brother Chim, I tell you, I feel about that big, me down there trying to preach to him yesterday and this morning. I was trying to preach to him about trusting God. That man knows more about trusting God, but you know what he said to me? He said, I need what you're saying. It wasn't that he didn't believe it. It wasn't that he wasn't standing fast. But sometimes he just needs somebody to remind you. Trust God with all your heart and all your spirit. So we see this is crazy. Man, we see the rejection, we see the request, and then we see the amazing response, and it is amazing to me. In verse number 9, and Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. After confirming their offer is valid, he consents to go back. I don't know if I'd have went back or not. Bunch of haters, rejecters. They didn't care about his feelings. But you know, in spite of that all, he forgot about it. He forgave them, obviously. He said, if you'll allow me, and if God does what he does, if you'll make me the head, I'll come. His treatment of them is vastly different from the way they treated him, isn't it? Boy, isn't it amazing? And by the way, the Christian's actions ought to be much greater than the world's actions anyway. The world may despise you, they may hate you, they may seek to destroy you. But I don't see anywhere where Jephthah became bitter. I don't even see much anger in his voice, even though he had been abused. He was able to get over it. And he was able to get over the things they did to him. They were able to get past the mean-spirited actions, and they caught a glimpse of the hand of God at work in his life. Or you become clear as you read Jephthah, is that he was a man who honored the Lord in all that he did. He had some bad things. But he had some good things because he loved the Lord. He might have been in exile from Israel, but he had never been in exile from God. They may have kicked him out. They may have shoved him out. They may have wrote him out of the will, but he was still in God's will. He was still doing what God would have him to do. And unlike his relatives, his commitment to the Lord by his treatment of others, whether we accept it or not, how we treat others is the direct reflection of the place that God holds in our heart. I'm going to tell you something today, and I tell you, I'm trying to be careful everywhere I go. It's so easy. It's so easy. I told this story, and I'm embarrassed to tell it, but I'm going to tell it. I was eating someplace one day, and they got the order mixed up, or I thought they did. And Susan told me we didn't have something, and I went back and told them we didn't have it. And they said, yes, you do have it. And I said, no, we don't. And I probably said it a little bit angry. But then when I went back and sat down, they started to bring me another. I realized I did have it. I wanted to crawl on my stomach out of there. I went back. And I apologized 5 or 6 times. And the lady said, it's fine. She had a better spirit than I did. She said, it's fine. I forgive you. You don't have to apologize anymore. Do you know I went back last Friday night to the same place? And she wasn't working there. I don't think she was working that day. I hadn't seen her in a long time. But you know what? I had to go over there once again and just tell her how ashamed I was. That I didn't take time to figure it out before I acted ugly. She laughed, smiled, said, don't worry about it. I told you. I forgave you. And I'm grateful for that. But friend, I don't want me as a pastor, I don't want to be me as a Christian to reflect my life in such a way that people will say, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be one. We need compassion and love one toward another. And I'm so glad that not only God forgives, but I'm glad for that dear lady that forgave me. When we love him as we should, we'll love others as we should. In verse 11, the latter part of that verse, notice what he says. Let's just read it. Then Jephthah went out with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. Boy, what an advancement. Just a little bit ago, he was a reject. He was kicked out. He was exiled. He was thrown away from his family. And now, he's the head. He's the captain. Then look, let's read on. And the Bible said, be the head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. We're told that Jephthah uttered all the words before the Lord in Mizpah. Mizpah means watchtower. The place is called Mizpah. It was where Jacob and Laban made an agreement that they would not attack the other. They called upon the Lord to witness their covenant. And by the way, when they departed, they did not depart friendly, but they parted as enemies. But you know, they expressed the friendship in doing it in a proper manner, and doing what was right. In reality, they represent perpetual enemies. We may have enemies. But what does the Bible say about that? Love your enemies, do good to them that curse you, do good to them that despitefully use you. That is what Jephthah is doing here. He's calling on God. He's looking back at the promises of God and the promises of the people. He's calling on the Lord to watch over him as he goes to battle. He's already said, basically, if the Lord gives me victory, you're going to make me captain, right? Because he knew that if he was going to win, God had to do it. He is acknowledging the Lord and looking to him for help. And he will need to win the victory. He needs his help. In verse number 9, Jephthah knows that any victory that they might enjoy comes to the Lord. And I just talked about that. He said, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon and the Lord deliver me before me, shall I be your head. In other words, I don't deserve to be your head if God don't do it. It's all in God's hands. Victory does not come from us. Victory comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that controls our abilities. 1 Corinthians 15:57, it pays to acknowledge God in everything we do. Brother Dave McCoy was a dear friend and a big help to Justin when he was in school. He had a saying. It said, it pays to serve Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. It pays to serve Jesus, to walk in his will, to obey his word, to do what he'd have him to do. And so it pays to call on him. When you need him, there's nowhere else to go. Oftentimes there's help maybe in friends and there's help in family, but there's no help like the help that cometh from the Lord. And so this man hears his story. He started out being pushed out. He came back being drawn in order that he might defend them and help them in a way. I jotted just a few things down in closing. Many of us have strengths and weaknesses, but the Lord can use us in whatever our weaknesses are. When I am weak, I am made strong. And no matter what your strengths and weaknesses are, God can use you this morning. He wants to use you. There may be a cycle of sin in your background. You may experience things that have happened in your past and through your parents or your grandparents, and the cycle of sin you know can affect you even today. But you're saying, by the grace of God today, I'm stopping that right here. I'm not going down the same path. I'm not going to allow myself to fall into that category. God can use you in spite of your past. He can use you in spite of your family. His family didn't like him. He can use you in spite of your failures. But I'm going to tell you something. A $20 bill has the same value, whether it's worn or torn. It'll still, the value never changes. And God's value of you never changes. And he can use you if you allow him to. And then, I like this. Your treatment of others reveals how you really feel about God. That's why I was so ashamed with that story I just told. I don't want that to be me. I want to be more careful. I don't want that to be anything revealed in me that I'm hateful or mean or trying to be ugly. Because the way I act is probably a reflection of how I react and react to God in everything that I do. And then lastly, if you can, and you can, I believe, serve God faithfully today and trust him with all your tomorrows. If he's touched you somehow through the story of Jephthah, I challenge you today, find a way to this altar and ask God to help you. You may feel rejected today. You may feel pushed off and pushed away, but I want you to know today, God's still on the throne. And God still wants to help you. And God's still able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. It may be that somebody's offended you, and they've come back and wanted to be friends. And you said, never happened. Just remember, God forgave. And he said, if we're saved, we too will forgive. In fact, forgiveness is a good sign of our salvation and what we do and willingness to forgive others and those around about us. If he's touched you, I don't know today. I just kind of stumbled on this, and I began reading it. And man, I began to think, I said, man, this guy was something else. But he never allowed himself to get defeated in spite of the circumstances that he was going through. What about you today? Do you see some glimpse of you in Jephthah? Or do you see your lack of something in your life that Jephthah had? I encourage you today, whatever it is, get right with God. Love him, serve him, be faithful to him, and love our neighbors as ourselves, and love our friends, and love those around about us, even as Jesus loved me. I'm so glad Jesus loved me. I'm so glad that he gave himself for me. And what he did for me, he'll do for you just as well if you trust God to meet your needs.